And an interesting story in the paper today, another one of Australia's young geniuses. We were both looking at this earlier. Felix, the Rubik's Cube genius.
You love Felix. I respect him
as a fellow professional.
Gosh. The amount of praise you had for him, I'd be worried if I was leaving him to babysit him.
That's I would certainly ask him to perform his Rubik's Cube trickery for me. He can
tell
do
everyone what he does.
Well, he can do a cube. He can solve the Rubik's Cube in 8 seconds. That's quicker than your method of peeling the stickers off and putting them on.
What's to say he hasn't done that?
He couldn't peel them off, and I'd be impressed if he could do that in 8 seconds. That's still a good trick.
Yes.
What is with you and what have you got against Rubik's Cubes, mate?
Mate, they're boring. They are boring.
It's the ultimate challenge of man versus cube. Yeah. And in no better way can that ever be proved than by solving the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
Cubes are one of mankind's biggest enemies.
I don't think so. I don't think they are. And that's my point.
It's man versus cube. And in this case, it's...
boy versus cube.
It's boy versus cube. 13-year-old Felix. Yeah. He can solve it in 8 seconds. World record 7.08. He's under a second away from becoming the world champion at the fastest Rubik's Cube solver.
And apparently heading to New Zealand for the world championship so he can get his record time put on, recorded. I mean, probably you wouldn't have to have him send parents. Of course, they're not going to get up to anything.
Look at the jock go. Here we go. You would have to. We're a pretty crazy bunch, us cubers. All right, now I've got the cube out twice, and I certainly wasn't timing it, but it was a moment of great excitement. And you bragged, Andy. You were waltzing before.
I said
you were strutting.
You didn't
rate it. You don't rate. No. I can't believe you don't rate it as an achievement, which is why. And hopefully you're about to eat your words. I've managed to track down Felix, and get him on the phone. He joins us now, boy wonder, cubing genius. How are you, Felix?
Hey, good.
That's good. Now, Felix, you've just finished school.
Yep.
Mate, thank you first of all for being on the show. I, Hamish Blake, can say it is an honour to have you on. But sadly, Andy does not respect...
No, I think it's an honour to have him on.
Oh, come on. He's changing your tune now. He's intimidated by you, Felix. Not often we have a genius on the show.
Felix, does it help you anywhere else in life? I mean, do you get free cheeseburgers at McDonald's for solving the cube?
Why would that happen? He's not a cop.
I'm just wondering.
He's not a fireman. Felix, you don't need them, mate. You are on your way to New Zealand, right, to finish this championship, to compete in this championship. You'll smash them, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you will. You're doing it in 8 seconds. How does it work? Do they just give you one that's scrambled and they go, we've scrambled this out the back and now you have to solve it?
They have a computer program. I bet they do. All the same scrambles for every competitor.
The same scrambles for every competitor.
Okay. And do they monitor the old peel stickers off and put them back on pretty closely?
They have judges.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm out. My tricks are out. Felix, the reason we've got you on the show is, first of all, for me to say I think you're an Australian legend, probable Prime Minister in the future. Second of all, if it
comes down to a cube-based challenge.
Yeah, it could come down to a cube-off, mate.
Process.
Well, I would actually prefer that. I think it's better. It's a better spectator sport. It's a cube-off, and if you can't win the cube-off, you go to the less popular Rubik's Clocks puzzle, which nobody was really into. Have you done the clocks, Felix?
No, I don't have one.
They're not that good. I had them as a kid. I wasn't into them. Felix, Andy was bragging before about how he wasn't impressed with the 8 seconds that you can do the Rubik's Cube in.
I wasn't bragging that I wasn't impressed. I just said I wasn't impressed.
And I said to him, Felix, and this is where I need to back you up, my friend. This is where I need you to back me up.
Sure.
I said to him, mate, you can do one in 8 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
With your permission, Felix, offer the challenge of Andy Lee, you to not be able to complete a Rubik's Cube that we give you today. I'll give you 8 days to do it. I don't think you'll be able to solve it in 8 days.
No, he won't solve it.
He won't solve it?
Geez.
Suck on that! That's from the master, Andy! That's from the boy wonder himself! Get him, Felix!
Felix, if I don't explode from boredom in the 8 days, we'll see how I go, okay?
Felix, stick up.
You can't go on internet and search ways to solve it.
Good thinking, Felix. Good thinking. See, Felix knows the rules and regs, all right?
Okay.
You have to do this. And I know there's like VHSs out there that can teach you how to solve it. He just has to do this off his own bat, all right, Felix?
Yep.
Felix, if I don't do it in 8 days, I'll give you my PlayStation 3.
Okay.
sounds like a fair deal.
It's a good challenge. Look forward to chatting to you soon, mate.
Yeah. And,
thanks, Felix.
Hand over the cue, Pam. I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, I've organised one for you. It's on its way in, but I don't think the extra 20 minutes is going to help you.
Yeah, well.
You're not going to stick to it. You won't do even if you spent every waking hour. They're not as easy
mate,
as you
if
think.
If a 13-year-old can do it, I'll be fine.
Oh, look at him go! Unbelievable.
Hamish and Andy,
have you cast your eye across children's television lately?
No,
like afternoon cartoons.
No, I tend to be doing the show.
No, I mean like 3:30 to 4 o'clock.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Just preparing, just. Looking,
well, I was ready early.
Looking for you, generally.
Well, if you need me, I was watching 7HD.
Oh yeah.
Well, I wasn't actually. I walked past it. I would have loved to watch this show just to find out what it's about. But it was a cartoon. Yeah. I only saw the title graphics for the cartoon. So I only saw the name of it, and I've seen this before in the TV guide, and often gone, "What is that show about?"
Yep.
The name of the cartoon is Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force Go. Right? I'll say it again for people that are writing it down and are interested in getting the merchandise. Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force Go.
So are they robot monkeys or?
Yeah, Super Robot Monkeys.
Or is it Super Robot
Monkey Team?
Monkey Team. So they're a monkey team that use robots, super ones.
Or they're super robots, and the name of their team's just Monkey Team, like the Giggle Patrol.
Yeah.
So we're super robots.
Who are they?
I don't know.
Well, if you're giving an example, use one of real life.
Fair enough. The Giggle Patrol is no match for the Super Robot Monkey Team. I guess more like the Lions Club. They're not real lions.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of old men and women that mean well.
Better.
That could be like Monkey Team.
Yeah,
the Lions Club.
Yep.
And so obviously, if you see Super Robot Mints at the chemist, you should put your 50 cents in and buy some of the mints.
Yeah.
So Super Robot Monkey Team, Hyper Force Go. One of my questions is, do you need the go at the end? If you have a team that's called Super Robot Monkey Team Hyper Force, they're not sitting still.
You know what?
They're probably one of the most agitated groups of people you could ever find.
You know what?
They're called Hyper Force, they're super robots, and they're part of Monkey Team.
You know what this screams of, I reckon?
Yeah.
I reckon it screams of market research. They've got 13 kids in a room and they've given them, in search for the title, they've given them some pizza, they've given them some Reb cordial.
Like
and gone,
9 litres of amphetamine infused cordial.
And they've gone to these 10-year-olds, hey, what would you love the title of this new TV show to be called? And they've all just...
No one's been out of compromise. No one's given in.
Up names. We go, let's just put it all in one big title and bang,
just
your uncle.
One kid in the corner going, oh, I wanted Zingbot in there as well.
This is Hamish and Andy.
The new Ridley Scott adaptation of Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah.
Starring Australia's own Russell Crowe. And there's been a little bit of uncertainty as to the outfit that Crowe's wearing. They reckon it's more Maximus from Gladiator times than it is Hood.
Yep.
from what I can gather, Hood has traditionally been in tights and looks like a bit of a mincer. So
yeah,
I'm not
but
sure whether
the thing is, I don't think that he would have ever worn tights, the historical figure.
Mm.
Not a bush-going leg garment.
No, you're right.
He lived
right.
in the bush.
And you see girls.
Snake bite, tree scratching.
Yep.
You know, pine cones, needles, pine needles.
You see girls get a ladder in their stockings from walking down the street.
Yeah.
The wrong way.
I mean, I'm sure they weren't nylon. Obviously, that was sort of, obviously, Robin Hood predated the advent of nylon. But still, tights are not a good bushwalking clothes. Well, I don't think you would have ever worn them.
Yeah, I agree. But apparently, criticism for his hood as well.
What? He's got a hood?
They're saying that Crow's hood is a bit more robust and rugged, a woodland warrior than maybe the...
What is this, Carson Kresley's movie review? Having such a go at what type of hood he wears.
Yes, I know. And
he lived in the forest and he killed guys.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not meant to look like a ballerina.
They're suggesting, Ham, that it's not quite Robin Hood in a traditional sense. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I reckon a non-traditional Robin Hood has happened before.
Yeah.
And I cite the play at my kindergarten.
Yes.
Yes.
It was directed by Ridley Snot.
Daniel Hobbs was the kid who ended up getting the role of Robin Hood, much to everyone's disgust, because he was a bit of a bully.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's no good to see. We can't be supporting that.
He did fire an arrow straight into someone's back as soon as he was given the plastic bow and arrow. And for the night, it was replaced with a fairy's wand. So Robin Hood was walking around with
Robin Hood had a fairy's wand because he couldn't give this kid a weapon. Yeah. What was he doing being Robin Hood? He's the most loved of all the outlaws.
I think even the teachers were scared of him.
Oh, that's terrible.
But I did like... I mean, that's a great example, but it worked. It worked the night. Yep. It made for a much nicer Daniel Hobbs slash Robin Hood.
Yeah, we did we did Robin Hood when I was in prep, yeah. Sort of about year five.
Young Robin Hood?
Yeah, and we must not have been able to get green tights or something, because I do have a distinct memory of a guy called Andreas running around in footy shorts and long green socks, which showed a bit of thigh. He was sort of a sexy Robin Hood, yeah. But I guess it was just he had the footy socks on, because we're like, well, near enough. I mean, he had some level of green leg covering.
See, they're great. They're great non-traditional Robin Hoods.
I can't remember what weapon we gave him, but I do have a feeling... It was, you know, he had something like a T-ball bat or something. It's basically more like, you know, just give him something he can bash with and we should be all right.
13-10-60.
I would love to do this,
come to Russell Crowe's defence. Did you play or was in your class or even a school or church theatre?
It could be an amateur production.
Was there a non-traditional Robin Hood running around?
Because let's face it.
Due to budget restrictions.
There's no documentation of like what he actually looked like.
Yeah, he could have had a wand.
So, you know, if he was a historical figure... It's open to interpretation. How did your production interpret it?
Maybe the real one did have footy shorts.
I think he probably did.
Vanessa on 13-10-60. Vanessa, a non-traditional Robin Hood.
Yes, I played Robin Hood in year nine.
Mm.
And we had to construct our own costumes out of recycled materials. So basically, my costume consisted of garbage bags.
Why?
So instead of the merry men, it was Robin Hood and just the urchins.
Yeah,
it was kind of like Oliver meets Robin Hood.
Vanessa, would you say he wasn't as fierce when perhaps you're taking on some of the king's guards just with a plastic bag?
I think the whole take on Robin Hood was probably of a more romantic Robin Hood. I don't think I had a weapon at all.
No,
oh, really.
I think Friar Tuck's got a bit of old pizza stuck to his back.
Thank you, Vanessa. Robert on 13-10-60, you played a non-traditional Robin Hood.
Yes, I did. I played a gangster.
Played a gangster.
A gangster.
Robin Hood.
Can I have a guess here, Robert? How old are you, Robert?
13.
Was it about the time that Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet came out and everyone went, hang on a sec, let's just modernise all the old plays?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, anyone went, let's just take anything that had swords, put guns in it, and bada bing. I think we've got a great play.
Well done, yeah. Well done, Robert. Troy on 13-10-60, you played a non-traditional version of another play.
I did. I was the fiddler in Fiddler on the Roof in grade six.
Yep.
But because the house was basically a piece of paper with a stepladder behind it, they were worried that I would drop an actual violin, so they subbed it for a ukulele because it looked like a violin.
If I was a rich man, I would have bought a violin.
Troy, did you still play it like a fiddle? Like, hold it?
Fortunately, I had to mime the violin part, but I think overall it probably took away from the performance.
Yeah, well, if it doesn't... So you mimed a violin with a ukulele.
Oh, look, I think I got away with it because no one said anything.
No, Troy. I mean, and I'm sure, as most primary school players are, the audience is not made up of friends and family. It's theatre critics and, you know, writers from the Epicure section of the paper. And if they didn't notice, then you've gotten away with it.
They didn't say anything, so that's good.
Well done, Troy. Well done.
Fantastic.
He's fiercely defending himself. Wasn't criticised in the newsletter.
Mr. Gibbs, who critiques all the plays, still gave me a shining write-up. So I'll thank you guys to stop laughing.
This is Hamish and Andy.
Ham, at least once a day, you'll walk into me to the office and go, hey, Andy,
I'll give you a real one.
Do you want a drink or something? And I'll say no.
And I'll go, oh, really? Because did you know that an ostrich's eye is bigger than its brain?
And I'll say, I don't care.
And I'll go, thank you, Zoo Weekly, because at the back of the magazine, they've got a great list of facts.
You keep thinking that facts impress people.
People love facts.
Not when they're out of the blue like that.
That was a ripper.
Well, I would like to challenge you, Ham, right now.
We have designed a small game, if you'll bear with us, please, dear listeners.
Yes, where we call this random shops, have a chat, and try and throw in a fact. Now, Ham, if any of these people are impressed by a fact, I'll give you the win.
Okay. All it needs now is a snappy jingle. Fortunately, we have one.
When you reel off a stat to get pats on the back, facts amore. Facts amore.
There you go. Oh,
I would say I'm already on a win for the jingle. Let's play Facts Amore.
Hey, we're going to start with a pizza shop that you're going to have to try and win.
But of course, because in Facts Amore, we pay homage to my 1/8 Italian roots.
Here we go.
Good afternoon, Milazzo's.
Oh, yeah, g'day. I was just wondering, how long have you guys been open there for?
How long?
Yeah.
We're the new owners. We've been here 6 months.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Like the world's oldest dog, a 21-year-old Dachshund called Chanel, actually celebrated her record-breaking birthday in New York this week. 21 years old.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
All right. I'll see you later.
Thanks, mate.
Oh, you'd be fair to say unimpressed.
Oh, come on. It's a pretty good fact. 21-year-old Dachshund.
Hey, I know, but I'm saying people aren't impressed by facts when you just come in and say it in a regular sentence.
Oh, you have a shot.
Okay.
Hot shot. That was a ripper.
Here we go. I'll have a crack at a hardware store.
Hardware shop. This is David.
G'day, David. Just wondering what time you guys are open there till tonight.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I won't be able to get there tonight then. I'll probably come past tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll be a bit older, but it might mean I have less bones. Because,
anything I can help you with that you might need here?
You're born with 300 bones,
yep.
But by the time you become an adult, you only have 206. That's why I might have less bones when I come through tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Okay. We'll see you in the morning.
You will.
Cheers. Okay. Bye-bye.
But have a good one.
Was he impressed?
Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely
bewildered.
Not.
Bewildered.
Yeah.
Confused.
Confused.
Scared? Not quite scared, but certainly bewildered. Shall we go one more?
Well, I mean...
We haven't impressed anyone
yet. A sample size of three, I think, is important.
So far, if it wasn't for the roller skating girl in the bikini, this zoo has been a waste of money.
All right, who are we going to call?
All right, let's call a dry cleaner. Do we have a dry cleaner there, Annalise?
Can we call that? We can do a dry cleaner. Here we go.
This is a goodie.
Stan Dry Clean.
Is that Stan's Dry Cleaning?
Speaking.
G'day. I was just wondering, if I bought two suits in to be dry cleaned, how much would that cost?
Two suits?
Yeah.
Is that just a two-piece each?
Yes.
We got a special for $23.90.
Oh, that's very good. Do you take cash?
Yes, we do.
Very interesting. Because speaking of money, in Islamic finance, charging interest for a loan is strictly forbidden by culture.
You asked me, do I take cash?
Yes. Yeah, and I'm just saying, speaking of money, in Islamic finance, in Islam, charging interest for a loan is strictly forbidden. Can't do it. It goes against the sort of the ethics.
Yeah, well, we don't charge interest, unfortunately.
No, I'm just saying it's a great fact.
Yeah.
I know. So, okay, bye.
Okay.
Crosswise there. I don't think he thought that was a fact.
I think
it was a good fact, though.
Yeah.
In Islam, that's but just you don't charge interest. Strictly forbidden.
Three hating facts, zero liking it.
Time for the jingle.
When you reel off a stat to get pats on the back, facts amore. Facts amore.
Hamish and Andy.
Hogg's Inventions. It is time for now. My ex-housemate, he's one of Australia's greatest thinkers.
Mm.
And he comes to this show with inventions from time to time on the proviso that on 131060, genuine investors can ring up.
People can invest.
Get the ball rolling.
Invest with him, not against him. So far,
of the seven inventions brought to the show, none have made it to prototype stage.
No. The gym train was the last one. Just clearing out a whole carriage and just putting gym equipment in it so you can work out on your way to work. Not a bad idea. I didn't mind it.
It required a significant initial investment. That's where feet went cold.
And he wanted weights in there, free weights. So when you're on a moving carriage,
it could be dangerous.
It could be very dangerous.
There was a giant insurance issue which was never tackled. Nevertheless, he joins us now. How are you, Hogs?
Oh, good. The trademark whistle, which means we're in for a good one.
So far, the best invention you've brought to the show, Hogs, is the whistle.
Hogs, a few weeks off an invention. So obviously the brain's been ticking. No short of ideas, I'd imagine.
Oh, gosh, no.
No. And obviously, for people that have not heard the segment before, these are ideas that make it into your ideas.xls spreadsheet on your desktop.
It'd be overflowing, wouldn't it?
At your job. How many new ones are on there, Hogs?
Oh, there's heaps. It's not a matter of coming up with an invention. It's thinking of one of the inventions I should let you guys in on.
Really?
Your biggest challenge is filtering.
Spoiled for choice. Spoiled for choice. All right, Hogs. Well, we like a little bit of a pitch, and I think that's what gets investor checkbooks out. Take it away.
Vegemite has done well over the years.
Generally,
hang on, this isn't just one of the ideas that you've decided to steal, is it?
is generally it involves you picking out another product and just saying it's done well over the years.
Now, we all like Google.
All right.
Vegemite done well over the years, butter, so on and so forth. Breakfast has done well over the years.
Yes, as a meal, it's one of the top three most successful meals of the day.
However, you know, it's getting to the time that these days, no one can really have enough time for breakfast. They're either A, missing out on breakfast, or they're just getting up and goes or something, you know, in the morning on the way to breakfast.
Would you suggest then, Hogs, that breakfast isn't doing as well in present time as it has done in past years?
So it's done well over the years, not now.
Okay, it's dropping off.
Got me thinking. Mm. How can we just speed up the process of having Vegemite on toast?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Roll on Vegemite.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's actually called roll a bit of flavour, I'm going to call it.
Okay, so you don't necessarily have to do it just for Vegemite, you're saying?
Like, no. So you can just get a bit of a roll on butter, roll on, you know, Vegemite, bang.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need a knife. You know how the squeezy bottles?
Yep.
You know, like the, it's not like that at all. You need a knife to spread it, so it's just a stupid invention, right?
Yeah, okay.
Stupid. I mean, the actual product is the invention.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're saying is a jar is a stupid invention. But, so this is designed, you wake up in the morning, and most like, would it be like a deodorant? Like it's roll-on in that aspect?
And do you...
Looks exactly like deodorant, but it's kept in the fridge.
And what's it called?
Squeeze a bit of flavour.
I'll roll
a bit of flavour. Roll a bit of flavour.
Roll a bit of flavour. Now, Hogs, are you selling just the canisters for people to scoop their own Vegemite into, or are you hoping to get some kind of joint, manoeuvre with Vegemite and peanut butters and Kraft, for instance, and then help sell them in the need a bit of flavour, roll a bit of flavour canisters?
So if we can get up, get a bit of money together to make a little bit of prototype, we'll go to Kraft and a bit of Meadow. What's the butter company?
Meadowlea or whatever the butter company.
Fine, they'll be in the
Western Star. Yeah, we'll go to them and we'll offer them up the roll a bit of flavour canister.
Yeah,
people are calling in, Hogs. It's not your stupidest,
Hogs. One of my first questions, and I'm not sure if there's an answer for this. Is
can you reserve it to after this song here?
Well, on toast, won't you have to press pretty hard to like crush? Won't it crush the toast?
We'll see. We'll throw these type of questions.
Would it crush the toast, Hogs?
No.
Okay.
Christy on 131060 has got a question. Christy, what do you reckon?
Well, it's a good idea, but just one thing. What would you do to stop it from sticking to the roller?
The crumbs on the bread.
The crumbs on the bread. I don't think that would work.
Hawks?
Well, you just roll it on.
Yeah. Yeah, but how would it come out? Have you ever tried to get Vegemite out of a jar?
It's pretty thick, Hogs, I think is a problem a lot of people are coming up with. You look at a deodorant, and that's almost the same consistency, let's say, as water.
Yeah.
But you look at Vegemite, and you've got a much thicker substance.
Well, how do you get Vegemite off a knife?
Yeah, you
don't chuck it in the dishwasher.
You obviously
wipe the knife
still dirty. What and obviously there's crumbs left on the knife. What Christy's saying is there's going to be crumbs on the roller.
You can wash it. You can just rinse it under the tap.
But you can't, Hogs, because obviously when the ball spins, more Vegemite will be coming out.
No, see what I haven't told you is there's a small lock on the side. It locks the ball in place.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so you can quickly clean it.
Okay, I'm glad you hadn't told us that yet. I think that might be code for I just invented it on the run.
All right. But
Corgs, can I just ask? Have you got roll-on butter for this as well?
Yeah. Well,
How is the butter so slippery, so loose? I suppose runny that you can roll it on.
It'll be like sandpaper kind of thing. So when it rolls over, it'll be collecting butter as it keeps on rolling.
It's a rough ball.
It's a rough ball.
It's a rough ball. That is different to a deodorant.
I thought you were going to go for melted butter, but a rough ball is much better.
A rough ball. Jesse.
Okay, Jesse on 131060, what do you think?
Well, I think that the roll-on is going to have too many problems, as you've heard. Hmm. So I reckon the little perfume canisters that you can get to spray, like a spritzer, have like a spritzer instead of a roll-on.
Well, a spray-on.
A spray-on. What about an aerosol can to spray on your Vegemite?
There you go. You might overload
Hogs?
It, but hey.
Hogs, would you consider that? Because, again, that would be better than having a rough ball.
I think I'd prefer my idea.
Okay.
All right. Defending the idea.
Kylie, another complimentary idea?
Hogs, I love your idea.
Mm.
I think that maybe you should go with Buttermite and have them combined in the one roll-on, and that will, you know, the consistency will be great, and it can warm up in the hand, so it glides on perfectly.
That's not a bad idea either.
Yeah.
Oh, can I just ask this, Hogs? And again, it's not a set-up, genuine question. Say I've made my toast, right, mate? And it pops out. Let's assume that the rough ball dispensing system doesn't destroy the toast as you're putting it on. But, you know, the toast is pretty soft, especially when it's freshly cooked. So I worry that it's going to be able to get enough traction.
Yeah.
Because you have to press pretty hard. Like, to put a roll-on on, you press pretty hard, right? But let's just assume that it doesn't destroy the bread. Say the time it takes me to roll on butter and then grab another one or them together if they're combined and roll on Vegemite. Is that really that much quicker than the time it takes me to quickly grab a bit of butter, knife it on, grab a bit of veggie, knife it on?
Yeah, I've done the math.
Yep.
And you're saving about a minute.
A minute? How is it taking a minute to butter toast?
But hold on.
By the time you get to the fridge, you've probably got a mobile in hand, so it's quite hard to, you know, undo the lid and so on. And then you've got to put it all away. You've got to wash the knife. You've got to do this. You've got
washing,
to do that.
You're right. The washing of the knife. You
I suppose
are saving
that has
knives.
To be included.
What about Maddie on 131060? What is your suggestion, Maddie?
It's not a suggestion. I'm sorry, Hogs. I really am. But the Chinese have already invented it. It's more like a stick of glue, which is, I'm sorry to say, a better idea, but...
Glue stick.
That is better.
That is better. So you just twirl up a glue stick and you can just actually rub it on.
There's no need for this rough ball with a locking system.
No, I thought of the glue stick.
Yeah.
And Chinese already did, mate. Do you think of gunpowder too?
That's not funny.
Why did you go away from the glue stick?
Because that was just going to rip a hole in the bread or in the toast. The roll-on is just going to easily just spread it around. You don't need a knife.
I don't think so.
But
I'm really working for you on this one.
But you need to press hard enough on one side of the ball to dig the butter or the Vegemite off on the other side of the rough ball. That's basic. That's just how hard you need to press.
So what? We out?
I bloody love the thinking though, Hawks. I felt like we were really close there, but I think, unfortunately, it might just be a bread destroyer.
Thank you, Hawks. Oh, we'll catch up with you next week like we for other close. Inventions. A pill has been invented, Han, to prevent heart disease.
That is a good thing, isn't it?
It's a great thing. And it's developed from a chemical found in tomatoes.
That's great.
Well, what I find interesting is it comes down to a tomato. Who found that? I mean,
scientists.
Were they going through heaps of vegetables?
Possibly. I don't know if they would just do it as blatantly as, all right, guys,
celery.
In this room, we've got every vegetable in the world. Go through and see with a microscope, see if you find anything.
Well, to me, because I've been searching for this for a long time.
Yeah.
To me, if someone walked in and went, maybe check tomatoes, you go, oh, I mean, that's something we eat every single
heart,
day.
We're not scientists dealing with heart research.
I know, but
that's not how it happens. You don't have a room full of scientists sitting around with someone going,
somewhere like that.
Hey, guys, why don't we check bananas? Thanks, Mick. We're going to do Sudoku, but maybe we will check bananas.
Well, maybe. Well, they've got to do something like that.
No, they don't.
Well, how do they come up with tomatoes then?
Well, because they would look at different chemicals, like they'd synthetically make them, see what it does to cholesterol, and then go, well, where can we find this occurring in nature?
But they have
it's not a giant wheel where you just pick a vegetable and see if it's in there.
Well, they must have got it from a tomato at some point. So someone's gone, let's check out tomatoes. They're not like just making it and going, where do we get that from?
I guarantee
you. Only get it from tomatoes, they have to have checked a tomato.
Yeah, but they'd know, or like they're probably known for like hundreds of years or like tens of years what chemicals exist in different vegetables, in different plant life, and they would try different chemicals based on like leads and stuff. I guarantee you the phrase, what about tomatoes? Would not have been said. It's like high-level medical research.
I reckon the guy that suggested tomatoes
tomatoes. That's not how it, I'm sure it's not how it happens.
I reckon he's wandered in and they've gone, what have you got there, Bob? And he said, tomatoes. Like, and they go, what's this? And he goes, and then they've gone, but Bob, you bought him beetroot last week and it didn't work. Yeah, but I've got a better gauge
all right,
on tomatoes.
Let's just say that happens.
Yeah.
And after Bob goes, what about tomatoes? What do they do then?
Then they have a look at it. And they find,
well, how do they look at it?
I don't know. They break it down. They find the chemicals inside.
Chop it up really fine?
Yeah.
Oh, worst comes worse, we'll still make a salsa.
Hopefully they do use the extra bits. But then they obviously go with a microscope, put the tomatoes in. They find the different chemicals inside the tomato. And they go, this one could help us out. Let's test that one. Yeah. So
thanks, Bob. Well done. A beetroot was ridiculous.
My main issue is I don't like tomatoes.
It won't taste like tomatoes.
Hamish and Andy. The most expensive curry has been made.
Yep.
It's going to cost you $4,000 a portion.
No, it's not, because I'm not buying that.
No meal is worth that much.
It's stupid.
Do you want to guess some of the ingredients?
It's not one of these things where, there's that cocktail that like Kylie Minogue got bought for her once it's like a $19,000 cocktail because it has a diamond ring in it.
Yeah.
That's a health hazard, if anything.
Exactly. No, what that is a drink and a ring.
That's a drink and a ring.
It's a ring.
What you've got
with a ring in it.
You've got a drink ring combo.
Yeah. Exactly.
You haven't got a cocktail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not one of those. It doesn't have like a small car with it or anything, does it?
No. $4,000 a portion. It's only edible stuff.
Does it have gold foil?
Yes.
Oh, I hate
that.
Every now and again, because I do keep a close eye on the food world, somewhere along the line. Gold foil, gold that's beaten so thin it's actually edible, yet still expensive, has snuck its way into food as this sort of like highfalutin, I'm eating gold, suck on that financial crisis manoeuvre.
It's seafood treasure, Ham. Can you have a list? Have a guess at the other items.
It's seafood.
It's a seafood treasure.
Well, I don't know where that adds a bit, but I mean, to get it up to $4,000, we're talking caviar?
Yep. Think of the other one that they try and reel out all the time. It's not seafood, though.
Patagonian toothfish?
No, it's not seafood.
It's not seafood.
Yeah, think of the other one that they always try and
reel out. Something expensive. Yeah. Oh, it's have bloody truffles in it.
Truffles.
Isn't it truffles?
Bloody white truffles, seafood. It's caviar, sea snails, quail eggs, lobster, and this edible gold. Why are we eating gold? And if we are, we should give the right to those people who walk along with metal detectors on the beach a chance to sift through the stools of anyone who has had this meal.
If you eat this, you should, if you're any sort of Samaritan, go to the toilet in a small freezer bag and drop it on the beach. So people with metal detectors can at least get something for your stupidity. Now, I know we banned poo talk, but I think it was a reasonable suggestion.